Welcome to Live and Love Your Brand, a podcast to support you in sharing your message and mission with the world. I'm your host, Emma Lovell. I'm lovely by name, lovely by nature. I'm a personal branding specialist with a mission to support female entrepreneurs to live and love their brand. I've been running my business, Lovely Communications, for more than 12 years, and I can hand on heart say that my success has come from the strength of my personal brand. I believe in the power of owning and sharing our story. I want to help you own your story, shop consistently, and really put yourself out there. So here on the podcast, you'll find helpful tips, practical exercises, and joyful discussions that will inspire you to reconnect with your brand and communicate it more effectively. I'll be joined by incredible experts to discuss how personal branding can have a huge impact on your business and on your life. I'd love to hear from you, so please make sure to connect over on social media. You can find me on Instagram, at Lovely Comms, that's L-O-V-E-L-L-Y, double the L means double the life. Facebook, Lovely Communications, and you can join in the conversation in our lovely community, the Live and Love Your Brand Facebook group. Of course, make sure to come back weekly as each new episode drops. I can't wait to share with you how to gain clarity, build confidence, and increase connections, all by sharing your unique personal brand with the world. Lovely Communications is based on the Gold Coast and recognises Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the first peoples of this place, now known as Australia. We are grateful for the continuing care of the lands, waterways and skies where we work, live, listen, learn and play. From here on Yugambeh country and from wherever you are listening, we respect the elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to the podcast today. I am thrilled to introduce you to a fellow fabulous, lovely Lovell, Sonia Lovell. Sonia and I are not related, but we do share a surname and we also share a passion for supporting women. So Sonia is a menopause campaigner and podcaster, and we actually got to meet when we were both nominated or made finalists for the Roar Awards. And Sonia really, I mean, the surname obviously stood out to me, but also her passion for what she's doing and how she's absolutely brought that into her business. Her story, her own journey brought her to where she is. So let's learn a little bit about her. Sonia campaigns to raise awareness about menopause. She challenges societal stigmas and taboos surrounding it, and she promotes better education and resources for women. Her goal is to ensure that women have equitable access to education, information and support during this life stage, and to promote positive changes in the workplace and government policies to accommodate the needs of menopausal women. She said if you read any of her school reports, you'd hear that, you know, you'd read that Sonia talks too much, and it's why we probably connected so much. So again, we always have off-air chats. We had to cut it short, but you're going to hear this fantastic conversation of Sonia's story, how she got into this line of work, launched her podcast, and how she's supporting women. And I love the purpose and the passion. Take a listen to the fabulous Sonia Lovell. Welcome to the podcast, Sonia Lovell.
Well, thank you, Emma Lovell.
Basically, we're just doing this whole episode so that we could do that. So we can just go now. Want to go on the podcast for that? Yeah, thanks for having the same surname. But tell us, I love to kick these conversations off with, who are you? Who are you, person with my same last name?
Yeah, how dare you? Who are you? Well, my name is Sonia Lovell, and I am not related to Emma Lovell at all, because we have been down this rabbit hole before. My name is Sonia, and I am the host of Dare Menopause, the podcast, is probably what I'm most well known for. I also own a gym on the northern beaches of Sydney, so I'm a podcaster, but predominantly these days I'm a menopause campaigner. So I am at the forefront of really campaigning for menopause awareness in the society and in the workplace and at home, for women, equity to healthcare for women regionally and rurally, you know, as well as our women that live in the cities, for the up-leveling and upskilling of our GPs to include education on menopause care for their female patients, advocating to government for policy change. I am thick in everything when it comes to menopause in this country right now.
And I mean, it might seem like an obvious question, but how did you get involved in that? I woke up and
let
I thought,
me see. I have a uterus.
What? No,
there is a story. There is a story, hence why I'm here. I actually came to this kind of on an unusual route, I guess. So first and foremost, I've been a personal trainer for over 13 years. So always had a foot in the camp of women's health and wellness, always. Then in 2017, after a routine check of my breasts in the shower, I discovered a lump and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was 47. So unbeknownst to me at the time, I was in the thick of perimenopause, but actually had no idea. I didn't even know that perimenopause was a thing, but was promptly diagnosed with breast cancer, which sent me down 12 months basically of surgeries and chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and then on to hormonal treatment afterwards, which included being, you know, thrown into an induced menopause. So that was my menopause experience. So my memory of being told that I'd experienced this form of menopause was sitting in my oncologist's office, and I think it was my first meeting with him. So you can imagine I'm struggling with the trauma of the diagnosis to start with, sitting in a tiny little office with my oncologist, who I swear was like the Doogie Howser of oncologists. So beautiful man. Alex was an amazing oncologist, but I think he was about 18 when I met with him. I'm joking, he was married. He was about 30. And anyway, he said to me, pretty much a kind of a throwaway line, oh, by the way, as a result of everything, given how close you are at age to the average age of menopause, you will go into an induced menopause. And I was like, oh, okay. That was literally it. That was the conversation. So I'm pretty sure the thought process in my mind was probably like, oh, okay, cool. Well, there's one thing I'll never have to worry about. And I think the process in his mind was, well, there's one box I've ticked. And that was the end of the conversation. So then fast track down through all of those treatments and surgeries and everything, you kind of get spat out the other end, and it's like, okay, cool, treatment done, off you go, have a nice life. I mean, you know, there's follow-up appointments and what have you, but you're kind of like spat out the other end and left to deal with the fallout of the emotional and the physical trauma yourself. And then all wrapped up in that is the induced menopause. So it took me a good 2 to 3 years of healing all of that. And for me, it was also very much a matter of going on a little bit of a journey myself to actually work out how to heal all of that myself as well. Like you don't really get handed over to, okay, so here's a counselor for you to deal with your emotional trauma, and here's a menopause care expert who's going to help you deal with all your menopause symptoms, and here's a physio who's going to help you deal with the shoulder that we wrecked while we had you on the table doing your breast surgery. You kind of have to join all the dots yourself, and there's a whole journey of self-discovery that you go on. Because I'm very medically literate and I come from the health and wellness world, for me, I was able to do a lot of that work myself, but it still took me 2 to 3 years of working all of that out. So fast track to coming back to work as a personal trainer, opened my gym again, and decided for the first time in my career to actually niche down to the point where I was like, I'm only working with women. Bugger this working with everybody business. I am only working with women. And what I realized I'd done was I accidentally created this safe space for women, because you attract, you know, women that are, you know, your own kind of age and going through the same stuff as you in many respects. So I attracted all of these kind of late 40s, early 50s women into this safe space where they were having these conversations, because I was running classes. So I had groups of women in at the same time. And I realized they were having all these conversations about all the stuff that they were going through that I knew was perimenopause, menopausal stuff, but they didn't. And I only knew because of what I'd been through. And I thought, this is interesting. I thought that I experienced all that stuff because mine was, you know, so traumatic and was induced. So that sent me off to do a whole bunch of research around why they were experiencing what they were experiencing. And that was when I discovered perimenopause and this whole movement in the UK at the time that was starting to really get some traction. So there was the Menopause Matters campaign that was really getting some serious headway happening in the UK with the likes of Dr. Louise Newsom and some, you know, Kate Muir is a huge menopause campaigner in the UK. And they were, you know, really making some incredible headway in schools and in government and, you know, getting documentaries on TV and all of this amazing stuff. And it wasn't happening here. Like, it wasn't even a conversation here. And so I realized that there was this opportunity to start educating women on perimenopause, menopause, the globally recognized education gap with our GPs, which was why they were all lost and not getting any support, why our mothers, the generation gap, our mothers hadn't talked about what was going on. So there was this loneliness and isolation to what they were experiencing. And my business, Stellar Women, was born from that. That's a very long answer to your question.
Yes. Oh, well, I know it's important. It's really important to get to where you are. And so why did you choose the name Stellar Women?
Ah, that is a great question. Boy, did it take me a long time to settle on the name. I wanted a name, the business, that was really strong, aspirational, and it really meant something. I didn't want something that was fluffy and girly. I have a real thing about names for things. I spend a lot of time when I'm naming a product or a business or things. And it took me a really long time to go back and forward on different things. And I landed on Stellar because Stellar is, you know, when something's stellar, it's like it's solid and it's good and it's great and it's shiny and, it, you know, it's the best. And, you know, what that was what I really wanted to be able to put forward with the business, was to promote to women and educate and empower women about the fact that the best was yet to come in their lives. That, you know, perimenopause and menopause for some women can be a really tricky and rocky period of time, but to never lose sight of the fact that there is all of this goodness and the best of their years is still to come. And so that was where the Stellar kind of came into it. I wanted it to be something aspirational, something that you can really kind of, you know, grasp hold of, and, you know, you can stand up and, you know, proudly say, I am a Stellar Woman.
Yes. And so do you feel like, is that something that with menopause people kind of, I don't know, feel like it's the end of their life, or like it's like getting old, or is
I feel like, yeah. And I feel so there's two sides to that. You have to be really vigilant, particularly on social media, who you choose to listen to and follow and spend your time listening to. And, you know, this comes down to, you know, all media, really. Who do you read? Who do you watch? Yeah. Who do you listen to?
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of chatter, a lot of noise around people that will tell you that menopause, you know, or make it sound like menopause is the end of the world. You know, it's you're going to be exhausted and you're going to be achy and you're going to have hot sweats and you're going to put on weight and you're going to stop wanting to have sex and, you know, you're probably going to want to leave your job and you're going to hate yourself and it's just going to be the end of life as you know your best years are behind you type of scenario. And so I feel like there's a little bit of a doomsday kind of feeling to, you know, menopause, and particularly, you know, the fact that our mothers and our grandmothers just literally did not talk about menopause. And there is a whole reason for that, which, you know, I don't have to go into today, but it's all due to some really bad press that the previous versions of HRT, which was the hormone, the initial hormone replacement therapy that came out, which came out of America back in the 80s and 90s. And also because women, you know, we live in a patriarchal society, so women have been told to put up with it. You know, we be quiet and we sit in the corner and we don't complain and we put our head down and we raise the children and we just get on with life and we're tough and we don't make a noise. We push things under the rug and we just get on with it. And I think in Australia that's very much been, you know, a societal mentality. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of women that have been led to believe or continue to believe that because menopause is the end of your fertility, that it's also the end of the best years of your life. I don't believe that at all. And, you know, I've lived through an induced menopause, which is like a natural menopause on steroids, and, you know, come out the other end. And for me, I can absolutely assure you that I truly believe that you're absolutely, the best years are definitely ahead of you. There is a whole lot of freedom that opens up to you. You, am I allowed to swear on your podcast?
Yeah, go nuts.
Good. I mean, you literally run out of fucks to give. It's like, you know, your library of fucks just runs right out. And, you know, there is an element of just not caring anymore about what other people think of you. I think we spend so much time in our 30s and our 40s caught up on what other people think of us. Feeling like we're constantly being judged as parents, as, you know, women, as in our careers, and, you know, you kind of move into your 50s and beyond, and suddenly none of that's actually very important anymore. Mm. You know, we're looking at other things as our benchmarks of what is important to us. So yeah, I truly believe that postmenopause into, you know, what is truly the second half of our lives, is where we can stand in our power and absolutely go out there and make the best of our lives.
Yeah. And it's, you know, what you were saying before about not really talking about it. I mean, it's, I know, yeah, I think once this conversation started to kind of come out more, I was like, oh, hey, mum, like my mum never said anything and it wasn't a big deal. What, like, she didn't tell me. So I don't know, whereas other people seem to know that their parents were going through it or whatever. So I asked, or mum was going through it, and she was like, oh, yeah, I did. That was kind of it. And I was like, I don't know, like, do you not remember? Was it not a big deal? Have you blacked it out? I don't know. It was like, you know, tell me, I'm your daughter. Like, is it going to go through this? I was like, oh, okay. I guess, I mean, I could bring up the conversation again, but it was just sort of was like a,
that was it.
Yeah, yeah, I had it.
And, I'm like, and it's okay, really interesting, cool. Because if you flip this around, and, you know, if you can, you know, you've got, I know you've got a son, but if, you know, if you have a daughter, you know, would you allow your daughter to go into puberty as unprepared for getting her first period and having her periods, as our mothers have allowed us to go into menopause? You know, you wouldn't, no way, would you?
No. And even, you know, and it's a different type of thing, but I guess I've just been through a big hormonal shift myself, like, and remembered what that was like going through pregnancy and after having a child, like, gosh, it just flashbacks of, not that I was conscious of it then, but the mood swings and the, you know, like that, just the fury out of nowhere, because of where, how mine manifests. So I look forward to that coming back in however long, but, you know, it's like, yeah, I was like, whoa, like, it's just like the way that they impacted me. It just, you take it for granted, like, how much it impacted my emotions. And I was like, wow, I was going through that when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I potentially am going to go through that again.
Yeah.
No one's telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Some people are, like, very good friends have told me about through the pregnancy. So it was very well, you know, through people sharing their stories, I was potentially overly aware to the point where I don't even take myself to how bad it could possibly be. But the same, I'm fortunate now to be having these conversations, to be around women who are openly saying, oh, the menopause is here today, and then just talking about it, like, it's just in the conversation.
Well, that's the thing, and knowledge is power. And, you know, look, 80% of women will experience some symptoms of menopause. 20% of women will experience no symptoms and they'll just sail on through. And that's incredible for them. However, I think it's just as important for them to be aware of all the symptoms because, you know, we have to support our sisters through this. So if your sister or your best friend or your auntie or your cousin or, you know, your woman that sits next to you at work is is going through a really troublesome perimenopausal or menopausal transition, you know, you want to be able to support them. So it's really important that everybody is aware of what they may experience so that even if they don't, they can support those around them that do.
It's empathy, isn't it? And I think, you know, people are like, oh, I didn't go through that. Oh, I didn't experience that. And again, I'm really calling on just my pregnancy experience, but, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't have that. Or, you know, and I, you know, think about, I've had no people with really terrible endometriosis and I didn't have very bad periods. So it's not been something that's really impacted me, but I can imagine or I can understand how difficult that would be for them. And just because I didn't go through doesn't mean I go, oh, well, I don't know, like, sorry, you'll get over it. Or it's like, no, you're going through something. Okay, well, yeah, what are you going through? Or like, it's just like empathy 101.
how can I make that easier for you? What can I do to help you?
I think sometimes as well, like talking about it and knowing these symptoms, like you said, because sometimes we don't recognize it in ourselves. Like, you don't recognize what you're going through. Like people are like, so you're saying this is happening and this is happening, this is happening. And you go, well, it's like, even though I didn't have those things, maybe this is happening for you. Like, do you want to go get that checked out? Like, it would be helpful to have someone else, you know, point it out for you. You don't,
so there's a great saying. Yeah, there's a great saying, which is you can't read the label from inside the jar.
Yes.
And
love it.
I know, I love that saying. And you're exactly right. Sometimes you may have this stuff going on or you have, you know, something going on and you don't realize it, but somebody else may. And if they can feed that back to you and then, you know, kind of like you say, go, you know, maybe you should get that checked out. I've noticed, you know, a few times over the last few weeks that you've, you know, perhaps snapped at me more times than you normally would, or, you know, you've lost your train of thought mid-sentence, it's not like you, you know, things like that. Or, you know, yeah, it's really important that we can all support each other as a community.
Yeah. And I mean, something that I obviously focus on is people's personal brand. And I feel like a lot of the women I'm working with are probably coming to me similar around their like late 40s, early 50s. And it's that kind of, who am I? What am I doing with my life? And I say that this identity challenge comes when you go through something big. So
it's a transition.
It, you know, it could be moving house, it could be changing jobs, but you know, a big health thing can also be like, well, who am I now? And do you see that in the women that you work with?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a really great time. So, you know, we use the term midlife and we kind of use it loosely. Like, I don't think we really ever sit down and actually go, actually, this is the midpoint of my life. Because in reality, for us now, from a longevity point of view, it actually is the midpoint of our lives. And it's a brilliant time of life to actually carve out some space for yourself to sit down and I kind of call it like doing a bit of a life audit. And it's like, you know, sitting down and going, okay, so what are the things that have got me to where I am today? Who am I? How do I show up in the world? What are the things I'm proud of? What are the things I want to continue to carry forward with me? What are the things I don't actually want to take forward with me anymore? You know, they've served me well to now, but you know what? I kind of want to leave them behind now. How do I want to show up for the rest of my life or for the next, you know, 10, 15, 20 years until, you know, maybe you want to sit down and do this process again. You know, what do I want to give back to the world in this next half of my life? It's a brilliant time to, you know, and you know, there are women that make decisions at this point in their life that perhaps impact their careers or impact their relationships. You know, you see women making, I actually did a fantastic podcast interview myself with Kirsten Bouse, who is a clinical psychologist, and she specializes in working with women in their midlife who do choose at this point in time to make quite significant changes to their lives because they've realized that they actually don't want to continue in the relationship that they've been in for the last maybe 20, 30 years or the career. And, you know, they're big transitions to go through. But it is often, you know, at this point in their lives that they do do those audits and they do decide to move into a different phase for the next 30, 40 years.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's exciting.
I think it's exciting too. I was going to say, like, it's like, I just think it's so exciting. And you know, but like honoring that journey, like honoring that, yes, like you said, like, this is what got me here today. I feel like we get so caught up in the present and it's like, but who am I right now? Like, what's the role and title that I have right now, especially from a work context? And it's like, well, life's not always going to be around work. So like, who are you? And, you know, thank you. Yes, thank you for all those things that have contributed to now. I think that's a lovely way to look at it. And I have a cousin who's been on this podcast who is 100. And, you know, my grandmother sadly passed away recently. She was 92. I have an aunt who's 92, 93.
You have good genes.
Got good genes. My grandparents passed away, but they were in their mid-80s, you know, which I guess 15 years ago is kind of was old.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that. And I just, you know, my psychologist reminded me of it sometimes about she's kind of like, you know, you got a long time to work, like, you know, in terms of like the whole burnout thing and, you know, you've got to do it all now. You gotta do all the things, you know, launch a podcast and course in the same week. Why not? You know how it goes, Sonia.
I do.
Like, Emma, like, you're so like, you can do the things, but like, you know, what does that look like paced out over? And I'm not a big fan of the whole retirement and because I'm like, I'll enjoy my work. Like if I'm coaching or speaking or writing books and I don't know, running retreats when I'm 75 or 80, I just look at Jane Fonda, like what a legend.
Oh my gosh. Jane Fonda is a legend. Yes.
You know, Jane Fonda, like, you know, I mean, and there's people who are not celebrities who are still, I know, who are achieving amazing things. And
yeah,
I think that's a really beautiful way to look at it.
It's really important as well that we don't just focus on our lifespan. So our lifespan is obviously the amount of years that we're going to live. So let's say I'm 53. Let's say I live to 93. I've got another 40 years to live. But what I'm focused on now is making sure that my health span is just as long or as long as possible. So that's where we start looking at my heart health, my, you know, all my biometric markers, you know, what is my cholesterol like? What is my heart health like? What is my bone density like? What's my muscle mass like? What are my stress levels like? How well am I sleeping? What's my nutrition like? You know, all of those things, because if we can, you know, use this audit in our midlife as well to address all of those things. And a little bit like you were talking about before, rather than looking at like going, so if we look at it from an exercise perspective, you know, rather than making decisions based on what's going to suit me today, like, you know, oh, I want to be able to run 5 kilometers every day today, looking at, you know, what do I want to be able to do in 10 years time with my body, or what do I want to be able to do with my body in 20 years time, making decisions that are all about keeping you future fit is really important as well. So that means that you're setting yourself up for a long health span as well as a long lifespan.
So important, yes, because we don't want to spend the last 10, 20 years in a chair.
No, well, that's right. So you could have a long lifespan, but if you don't focus on having a good health span, then yeah, that lifespan kind of means you could be not at your best for a lot of those years, which is not ideal.
Yeah, and again, I looked at my cousin. He was performing a magic show a few days after he turned 100.
So I was following your trip when you went to visit him for his birthday. He is amazing, and that is an absolute testament to how we should be living our lives.
Yeah, and my grandmother was on the floor with my son last year and walking down to the river with him and still doing some lovely things. So I definitely looked at that, and I love snowboarding, and I love going to the snow and seeing these people with white hair and white beards, and you know, but they're rocking it and they're skiing, they're snowboarding, and you know, it might be for a couple of hours a day instead of 8 hours a day. I mean, to be fair, I'm probably hours a day, probably doing longer than me. But I'm like, yes, you're here. You're here. And it makes me call it early, actually. It makes me go, you know what? I'm not going to do, I've actually broken my back snowboarding. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do another run today. I've done a couple of hours. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to go and have lunch. I'm going to go play snowballs with my son because I want to be here. I want to be up there with them in 40 years, still doing this. So nice. I love that. Think about your health span as well as your lifespan. That is, you know, like write that on a post and put it on my Instagram today. Sonia, you've given me, it's beautiful thinking. And so, I mean, you just seem in such a great place, but like, how do you feel about this? Like, you're now going out there talking about menopause, like, do you feel like you're the menopause lady? Or like, well, how does this affect your sort of, how has this affected your brand? And obviously it's impacted your business, but how do you think this is impacting you?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I get a lot of comments from people saying, you know, where does your confidence come from? It's, you know, that's a comment that I get a lot. Like, I'm kind of like, I don't know. It's probably the answer to that question.
All right, like, listeners, we have no advice or guidance for you.
No idea. No, look, no, just that's probably not true. Look, genetic, maybe. Look, that's not entirely true. I'm passionate about what I speak on. I know my subject inside out. I do my research thoroughly. I connect with everybody that I can connect with at, regardless of whatever level they are at, even though I suffer from the most incredible imposter syndrome at times when I sit in panels and in networking meetings and, you know, over coffee tables with women that have agreed to sit down and have coffee with me. And I just go, I just don't even know why you are sitting here with me, because you are this and I am this. And, you know, but I have to get over that and just go, you know, no, actually, I deserve a seat at this table. And I am here representing the everyday woman that is out there on the street that doesn't have a voice at this table. And that's where my confidence comes from, is knowing that, you know, and that comes from having the podcast. I think I really backed myself by launching the podcast. It's really interesting. I tell the story that I had a business coach right back at the very beginning of launching Stellar Woman. And I said to her, one of the things I want to do is I want a podcast. I know that I want a podcast. And the reason I want a podcast is because I can get into the ears of more women that way than I can through any other medium. And I'm comfortable talking. Like, you know, if you went back to my primary school school reports, they all said Sonia talks too much.
Is it a level trait, do you think? It's like, even perhaps. If it's not related, maybe it's like a surname thing.
Maybe our surname should be talk a lot.
Yeah. That'll love be to talk.
So yeah, so, and she said to me, no, you need to sit on that idea. You need to just hold back on that until you've monetized the business. You need to, you know, roll out some coaching programs and bring some money in, and then you can have the podcast. And I was like, no. So I ditched the business coach and I rolled out my podcast, and it's the best thing that I did, because it's my happy place, and I know that it's where I make the biggest difference. I have the most incredible guests on the show. I've had access to, you know, worldwide experts, as well as, you know, I flipped the table and had listeners come on that have shared their stories, that are just, you know, the average women that just want to share their stories, because they know that, you know, a little bit like what we talked about at the, before we started recording, that, you know, it's through sharing our stories that we can change lives. But, you know, the other people that just simply by hearing a story that reflects your experience, it's that validation that you're not alone, that what you're experiencing has also been experienced by somebody else. And often it can be the impetus for you to go and do something about what you've experienced. So I always wanted to share stories. I'm a huge storyteller. I love sharing stories more than anything. But I also love sharing education. So the platform, the podcasting platform for me was just an absolute no-brainer. It's been hugely successful, more successful than I ever could have imagined it was going to be, even when I came up with the idea that it was what I wanted to do. So I think that has given me a lot of confidence just naturally. The fact that that has been so so successful for me, and that through that I've made so many connections. I've had people reach out to me that have told me they listen to the podcast regularly that blow my mind. I'm like, oh my God, you listen to my podcast? Like, wow. You know, I've reached out to politicians, you know, crossing all my fingers, toes and knees that they will want to come on the podcast. And I've had an email back within an hour. Oh my God, yes, where can I book in? I'm like, oh, okay. So I know that I'm making a difference through the podcast. And I think everything else that I do with this platform and with my campaigning comes off the back of knowing that I make a difference through that.
I love that. And I feel like, you know, we said before, what's that people say you're so confident. It's like, well, yeah, when you're so passionate about your mission and you're so clear about your message, that gives you confidence because, you know, you are who you are and you're sharing your experience, but also with that mission to serve others and to help others. Well, then it's like, it's not about you anymore, the message, right? It's like, yeah, this is my story, but it's like, it's not about me. It's about me making sure that I help someone else. And through whatever medium you choose that to be, podcasting, because that's your skill. And I love that you also, I love business coaches. I'm sure I do some of it myself and I've had them, but you have to run the business and live the life that you want to live and that, you know, you had the mission and you knew what you wanted to do. So I love that you trusted that instinct. And I love it, especially because that's how we met. We were at an awards and we were both nominated. It was like, who's this level bird in my category?
I know. It was so funny.
A finalist. So, you know, to be finalists and to then meet each other. And it's amazing. And absolutely, you're making a difference and supporting people. So, you know, apart from go and listen to the podcast, what's a tip for the audience if they were approaching or think that they might be approaching or you know, I don't know, I'm listening because at some point I'm going to do it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, look, the biggest piece of advice that I give any woman, and look, really it's from 35 onwards. So perimenopause can start as early as 35 for some women.
That's me.
There you go.
Woo,
bring it on. The average age of menopause for women is 51, and perimenopause is the 5 to 8 years leading up to your natural menopause. But for some women, it can be as early as 35. So any changes that you start experiencing that you just can't put your finger on, you just can't kind of like go, that's kind of weird, haven't really experienced that before, you know, and it might be that your periods start changing, whether it's, you know, their frequency is changing or the heaviness is changing, or you go a few months without one and then all of a sudden you get a really heavy one, or it might be you start getting hot flushes or night sweats. Or maybe you get migraines all of a sudden and you've never had migraines before. Or it might be dry, itchy skin. Or it can be, oh my gosh, there's such a huge range of symptoms. I think I heard Dr. Louise Newsom on a podcast the other day say she has a list of like 99 symptoms. Like it is huge. Anything that you notice that is different, jot it down. So I'm a huge advocate for journaling. Like anything you notice that's different, take a note of it. Keep a note of it. If it becomes a serious concern, then definitely go see your doctor and have a chat. Now, when I say that, if you feel dismissed by your doctor, and I love doctors, I love GPs, they do an amazing job, but we have to remember that there is a globally recognized education gap for menopause care. In our GPs. So you may come across or have a GP that actually isn't up to date with their education when it comes to menopause and perimenopausal care. If that's the case, then there is an incredible website with the Australasian Menopause Society. So I think their website in Australia is menopause.org.au. You can jump onto their website. They have a search function where you can put in your postcode and it will bring you up a list of GPs that registered with their organization. So that means that they have an interest and have upskilled their qualifications to have more care for menopause. go and find another doctor, get a second opinion. So self-advocacy is huge when it comes to your health as a woman, particularly from 35 onwards. So yeah, just keep a record, start paying a little bit more attention to what's going on. Anything that's out of the ordinary, always get it checked out. Because the other thing that I will say is that the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause can also mimic symptoms of other diseases and disorders that can actually be more serious. So you can never should just dismiss something as, oh, that's perimenopause. So always have anything that is concerning checked out. But yeah, just journal, keep a note. And then that way, when you go in to see your doctor, you can go, hey, these are the things I've been noticing. What do you think? Is this something that we should, you know, perhaps have a chat about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing everything today. And how can people follow along or get in contact with you?
Yeah, cool. So my podcast is called Dear Menopause, like you're writing a letter. It is on every possible podcast streaming platform that's easy to find. The best Instagram account to find me is StellaWomen_by_Sonia. There is a Dear_Menopause Instagram as well, but go for Stella Women. And my website is StellaWomenbySonia.com.au, I think. You'll find me.
We'll put it in the show notes. So if you're in doubt or message me, I'll direct you to her. Thank you so much for sharing. I loved getting to know you more, and I love what you're doing in this space and helping women through this time and just giving them that optimism and hope. I think that's such a beautiful perspective and refreshing. It is refreshing. I don't think I've heard it like that so much lately. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, Emma. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Live and Love Your Brand. I'm so grateful that you've shared your time by listening today. That means so much to me. And if you're loving what you're learning, I would be so appreciative if you leave a review, rate this podcast, and subscribe. It really shows me that you care, but it also helps other listeners to find us too. Again, please be sure to connect with me. I love hearing from you and getting to know your story. You can connect with me on Instagram at @lovelycomms, Facebook, Lovely Communications, and please do join the gorgeous community, Live and Love Your Brand, our Facebook group. Or if you're ready to take action now and want to improve how you show up in the world with your brand, then head on over to lovelycommunications.com. Again, lovely is LOVELLY, communications.com, to learn how you can work with me. My clients have gone on to experience opportunities that they could never have dreamed of. From starting businesses to taking leadership in their own life, they have found the confidence to stand in who they are and to go wholeheartedly after what they truly want in life. And I want that for you too. If you're ready to invest in yourself and reconnect with who you are, then let's chat. Thank you again for listening. Now go into the world and share the beauty that is the uniqueness of you. Catch you next week, lovely.